Jesus fed 5,000, more, at least 5,000. It seems that that was just a family count. With just one little basket of food, some loaves and fish. It's a classic story, isn't it? In fact, it's possible that our culture has embraced that kind of idea, that see what you can do with just a small amount. See what we can do. But the story is not about what we can do with a small amount, it's what God can do with that small amount, isn't it? The disciples were given a bit of a challenge. There's a crowd who have been listening to Jesus for a long time. It's late and they're all hungry. Everybody's hungry. And Jesus says, feed them. Jesus, we've heard the Bible read. We saw the kids talk. We know that Jesus already had a plan up his sleeve, but he still said to his disciples, you feed them. What should we do? Now, they come up with a plan of one basket, just one little basket, a simple one meal for a boy or a family. And Jesus says, sit the people down on the grass, just like the good shepherd leading his sheep to be fed. And he says, go and distribute. And you know, they did. They did exactly what Jesus did, asked them to, and everybody was fed. Everybody was fed. You know, this is because Jesus is amazing. Jesus is amazing. One of the simple things that comes out of this story is that Jesus is not just a man of history. He is God who became man. The God who created the world, who made everything out of nothing. This is the God who, on that day, in front of a paddock full of people, made those fish and bread multiply to feed the crowd. Jesus is amazing. And that's the first little, it's a small hurdle, but it's a massive big mind shift to say, do I believe that Jesus is an interesting person, a mascot in my life, or do I believe that actually he is God become man? And we know that he became man so that we would know God, so that we would know him, and so that he would pay the penalty for us to lay down his life and die on the cross. And we focused on that. We looked at that in great detail last week in our sermon. Jesus is God become man. Jesus is amazing. And then after everyone was fed, Jesus then said, go out and pick up the scraps. Now, I don't think that he did that so that the park rangers would be happy with them. I don't think it was, we want to come back here again. Let's make the local authorities welcome us when we come back again. Now, he said, go back and pick up all the leftovers, which means that everybody was fed and everybody was satisfied. If people wanted more, they could have had more. But they had all that they needed to eat. And so they brought back not just one basket or two or three, they brought back 12 baskets full of scraps, of leftovers, of food that nobody feels they need because they've got their fill. This is amazing. This is because the kingdom of God is generous. Jesus does not give us things in half measures. If he asks us to do something, he gives us all the tools and the skills, and even to the point of giving us his Holy Spirit to do the work. You see, in the very same chapter, in John chapter 6, where that story is found, the very same chapter, Jesus later on said, I am the bread of life. He connected this moment of feeding the crowd with actually the moment of feeding us spiritually, feeding us physically, turned now into a spiritual lesson. He says, I am the bread of life. And he said to his disciples, he said, to work not for food that decays, but for food that lasts forever. Isn't that the frustration of our existence, of everyone in the world, Christian and non-Christian? Our frustration is that we work and we toil and we sweat and we're anxious and we're desperate and we strive for things that will die when we die, that just will not last forever. But God says, I want you to be part of something that does last forever, for an eternal project. He says, to work for things that don't last and don't fulfill, but to work for things that do last and do fulfill. And friends, we here at Kingswood, we know Jesus. He is the author of life. He is the reason why you're here. Everything is made through him, for him, and by him, and that means that you have been made for him. You have been made for Jesus. And so that when we enter into that relationship, if we say, I want to be in a friendly relationship with Jesus and God the Father and the Spirit, it means you're actually accepting the promise. You're heading into the life that you've been promised from the beginning, made for. Now, Jesus has given us this small image of a basket being passed around to a crowd one day, which actually opens our minds to think big about what we do in our ministry. To be a Christian is to be involved in kingdom work. Full stop. To be a Christian, you need to be involved in kingdom work. Jesus commanded the disciples to go and make disciples and command them to do everything I've asked you, and that is to go and make disciples. And so to be a Christian is to be involved in kingdom work, in eternal work, to be involved in something that's actually bigger than your little life, something that lasts forever and will never spoil or fade, to have our treasures not on this earth but in heaven, sharing the bread of life with everybody, to make disciples. And when you've received your portion of bread and you've had your fill, keep the basket moving. Keep it moving. Don't let it stop with you. There's much more to share and there are more people to receive it. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that logic. Keep the basket moving. There's two things that are true. The first thing is that we have an unlimited amount of Jesus to distribute. If the product that we sold in this church was Jesus, if Jesus was a product, forgive me, Lord, for using you as an object, I'll do it very quickly. But if Jesus was our product, then we don't have just a small warehouse out the back that's depleting and we have to ration him. No, there's unlimited amount of Jesus to share. And the second thing that's true is that there are thousands of people in our area, not just 5,000 households, but 7,000 households and growing. That 7,000 figure is probably outdated. The basket needs to get beyond our walls and to our local area. Jesus didn't say just feed a few, see how far this basket will get you. If it can reach 2,500 families, that's a miracle. Let's just rest there. No, he said, keep it pass the basket to the back of the crowd. Again, I don't think anyone here would disagree with our motivation, what we need to do. What we have here, St. Philip's Anglican Church, Kingswood. It's been standing here in Kingswood for 128 years. That actually blows my mind. Only the train station is older than this church. Over the years, farms have given way to suburbs, a hospital, university and a TAFE. They're all within a short walking distance from this very location. Our church began as a child, as an infant of St. Stephen's Church in Penrith, but it grew up. It came of age. It left home. It became its own parish, and then it built extensions, what we're sitting in right now, to cope with the growth in the past. This church has been a kingdom-thinking church all of its life, and I'm proud to be part of this church. There's been youth programs running here since before I was born. Sunday school, GFS, SEBS, youth group, kids club, scripture, mothers groups. People have heard the gospel here. People have given their life to Jesus here at Kingswood. And people have gone out to serve him in the world from this very church. This church has been a reaching, gathering, growing, serving church in Kingswood all its life. At the corner of Bringilly and 2nd Avenue, you can enter here and feed on the bread of life for all eternity. Have your feed. Now, our church has been growing, and praise God for that. Our church has been growing. Slow but steady. On the screen there, you've got a blue line down the bottom. That's our youth under 18s. The red line is people over 18, and the yellow line is combined. And praise God that there is an upward trajectory of our church. This is just the last 12 months of people attending church, members attending church. I'm stoked by this. I believe that we can continue to grow, but I do believe that we will cease to grow and probably decline unless we do some changes, and I'm going to explain that this morning. We have two challenges before us, two challenges. Our church is running at two speeds, fast and slow. Our church is running at two speeds, fast and slow. Our morning service, that's represented by the blue lines there, our morning service is growing and sitting above 150 members. So that member description is not week-by-week attendance, it's who is likely to attend on any given Sunday. It's sitting above 150, close to 190. But our two evening services, that's represented by red and yellow lines there, two evening services are travelling at a very different pace. Even if you combine those two services together, these two congregations are less than half of what our morning is experiencing. So we're a church running at two speeds. It'd be wonderful for us to be a church running at the same pace and building momentum, feeding off one another and spread, making that basket go as far as we can. The second challenge is that our local area that we're living in is younger than we are. Anyone within a 10-minute drive from here is our fishing pond. Now, that ink blot doesn't represent our parish, but who out there actually knows what a parish is? So this represents anyone who could drive to our church within a 10-minute drive. That's Cadens, Werrington, Kingswood, of course, South Penrith even. Some of us live in South Penrith. There are other churches fishing in the same pond, and that is brilliant. If they catch fish too, praise God. We're on the same team. We're not in competition with each other. But this is the pond that we're fishing in. And in that ink blot, the average person is 34 years of age. The average person is 34 years of age. They're young workers. They're families with young children. 34, actually, our local area is lower than the state average. So perhaps the people are moving west to get their house, whatever reason, to get an affordable living and a new life. Wouldn't it be amazing for people to head west and find not just a new patch of grass, but to find new life in Christ? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Our parish, the average age of our parish is 46. Now, 46 doesn't sound like an old age, because I'm on the other side of 46. So it's not old. But as an average, that's approaching middle age and beginning to think about retirement. That word retirement is no longer an alien concept for you. It's something that's just hitting the radar and you've got to think about. 75% of our church is over the age of 30. So if our average in our area, the average age of a person is 34, 75% of our whole parish is over the age of 30. 27% of our church is over 70. Now, I'm not having a hack on ages. A church ought to have people here from all ages. And praise God that we have older generations here who have given their life to Jesus at a young age and have stuck with him. What an amazing thing to have in our midst when we do introduce people to the kingdom of God and say, and you can say, look, this is what it looks like to live, to join with Jesus and stick with Jesus, even through the suffering, the trials and the hardship. Stick with him because he's important. So we need all ages. I'm not having a go, but this last statistic is what ought to startle us. It's to do with the red section there. 7% of our church is in the age bracket of 19 to 29. 7%. It's less than 1 in 10 people in our church are in that age bracket that is generally known as Gen Z, more or less, and they're branching out of their family homes and considering what life should I have and where can I go to find answers. Well, praise God that we have a pool of newborn to teens, that's that blue section, but will we lose them? Will we lose them? And what will we do to keep them? Our church, friends, is a friendly, warm, open-armed church. It's not that we're pushing people away, is it? We love people to come. That's been my reflection on being here. We're welcoming. It's not that we are closing the door on a Sunday and saying, don't come in here. But we're not reaching our area with a food that lasts forever. The basket is not, for some reason, getting passed around. Now, we're not alone in this. The whole Sydney Diocese over the last couple of years have been watching the numbers and looking at growth numbers and come to similar conclusions across every region. And all the churches in Penrith are having the same thinking. And we're calling, Sydney Diocese is calling each other to a five-year focus on young people, to focus for the next 5 years, particularly on youth. I'm please don't think that we're going to neglect every other age. It's not about neglecting some for the sake of others, but we want to just turn our attention to what are we doing to reach the young in our area. And to see, here's the challenge, to see 5% conversion growth, not transfer growth, conversion growth, that's people coming to a relationship with Jesus for the first time in their life, see 5% growth in every church every year for the next 5 years. That, in our context, that means 7 or 8 people giving their life to Jesus every year. That's actually doable. That would be great. It's definitely, obviously, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Everything, every growth is God growth. But he's asking us, like he asked the disciples to pass that basket around, he's asking us, what can we do to grow the kingdom? The logic is really quite simple. If we focus our attention on who is here right now, then we'll continue in the trajectory of aging and shrinking, and you can finish the sentence there. But if we focus our attention, we work out what to do for young adults and youth in our area of every cultural background, then we're serving Jesus' mission best. There's a wind of change. Stories of young people, 16 to 25, that's that Gen Z, across Sydney, across Australia, and across the globe, of young people coming of age and trying to work out, what has this world got for me? And praise God that there are stories around the globe of people saying, I don't think that the older generation have worked this out. And rather than go on a new path, people are going into churches and saying, I want to taste what's in your basket. I want to know what you have to offer. And friends, we know what we have to offer. We have the words of eternal life that are given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's make it easy for them. When they come in, let's lay out the rug. Let's work out how we can serve and work out how to keep the basket moving in our area. So friends, I'm going to pause there. We are going to sing. We're going to sing praises to God, and we're going to lift our eyes from the things of this world and have our vision cast on how great God is. I'm going to ask the band to come out. And after the band sings, and then we'll have another Bible reading, and I'll get up and I'll talk about what I think we can do, practical things that we can do to reach the lost for Jesus. Let's stand and sing. So we need to keep the basket moving. What do we do next? Well, I've got five areas of change that I'd like to propose. We're going to start talking about it today. You'll hear my proposal, and then we'll have time to process and discuss and work all this out together. So let me share it with you. Five areas. I'm going to just state the five things right out of the gate. That's the right metaphor. And then I'll go back and look at each one. So first of all, we need to take our morning congregation to the next level with structures and teams. Secondly, to plant a new afternoon service targeting youth and young adults. To replant our traditional service to reach more of our seniors. To build Mission Heat, raise the awareness of our church in our neighbourhood. And lastly, to refresh and maintain our building to keep it modern and appealing. So those are the five things. I'm going to go through all those five things right now. And they're all important. There's probably an order of priority, and I haven't necessarily listed them in order of priority, but all of them, I think, will help us to grow. So the first thing is to restructure our morning congregation. Churches behave differently depending on how many people are in the church. A church of 50 behaves differently to a church of 400. I think that would make sense if you think about it. One transition point, it's been recognised, many people have studied churches and worked out at what point, how at different size churches, how they operate differently. And one particular changing point is when a church reaches 200 in membership. Now, we don't have 200 people here this morning, but we do, on our books, we do have a morning congregation is sitting at about 150 to 190, it's actually close to 190 members of this congregation. who are likely to attend. Now, if we want to push past that 200 ceiling, what happens is that a church will get close to that quite organically if it's a good community and we're doing the bread and butter stuff, preaching the word, praying, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, a church will ought to grow like that. But to push past that ceiling, think of it like a multi-story building, and we want to go from level, we're probably on level two, let's call us level two. We want to go from level two to level three. There's something to push past there, you actually have to behave like you're on level three before you get there and to break through that ceiling. While the morning church has been slowly growing over the past 3 years, I do believe it will plateau. It may have actually already done so, and it will slowly then plateau, then decline. That's the shape of a church's life, unless we do something about it. And I think what we need to do is shift our operations to be more structured, more intentional, and with teams. This is not new. I've spoken about this before. But let me speak about it again. The biggest shift is coming to grips with ministry teams. And I want to say that we need to just accelerate this a bit. I need to explain it more and better. And I'm asking you to adopt it and to get on board, get on the bus and come with me. So teams that are deployed for a purpose and they work out how to achieve that purpose together, moving us from ad hoc tasks to vision and where we're going. Instead of being on rosters, you can be part of a team. That sounds exciting. Not just fulfilling a task, but your team shapes how things get done. Each team has a leader, and as a team, you'll know and understand your purpose and work together to make that happen. Teams mean that you're not alone in your ministry. If you're fulfilling something, you're doing the duty, and you're thinking, well, I'm the only one on the planet doing this. But no, as a team, you think, no, I'm actually part of a team. And we're getting this done. We're better together, we're supported, and there's actually a joy and an enrichment that comes with serving alongside one another. I've noticed this is not necessarily a team illustration, but I've noticed that as we've asked our growth groups to start serving morning tea at 9:30, and I've watched people who would never have put their hand up to do morning tea, but because their growth group team, I'll call them a team just for a second, is doing it, then there's enthusiasm and excitement, and it's a great joy to bring your mega packet of Tim Tams and share that with the crowd. The disciples didn't have Tim Tams, I don't think, when they shared to their crowd. Does this sound unnecessary? Does this sound unnecessary? Friends, we're moving from a family-sized church to a bigger growing body. Now, that might feel like a disappointment. I like my family-sized church. But can I assure you that actually you can grow into a larger church and still keep the joys of being have that family experience? I think it's actually even better. This is where growth groups shine. To be part of a small community is important. If we are to dream that our church will grow, pray that our church will grow, but still stay connected to small groups. But even more than growth groups, this is where teams become really helpful. Teams that you're a part of will create and enhance that sense of family and of belonging and of contributing, I think even more so than what a small family-sized operation looks like. Better structure and organization means that new people don't slip through the cracks unnoticed. That some people come to church and they get embraced and work through the systems that we have, and then praise God for that. But some will come and not get noticed and fall through the cracks. And so we want to avoid that by having structures, intention, and teams. There's a difference between friendliness. One of our urgent areas to work on right now is welcome and fellowship, welcome and follow-up team. There's a difference between friendliness and welcoming. Our church has friendliness in abundance. It's a joy. We think we have, and every testimony is we have friendliness. But there's a difference between friendliness and welcoming. Welcoming is intentional. Welcoming says we want you now not to just feel like you're glad you're here, but actually let me help you to stay. Let me help you to connect and be part of this community, because we all know what it means to be part of this community, and we want you to know as well. The welcome and follow-up team will be crucial for multiplying the number of people who visit our church and then are embraced by our church and who join our discipleship pathway. That's for another sermon, describing what our discipleship pathway is. But hopefully, if I quizzed you and gave you a bit of a nudge, you would go, oh, yes, I know what that is. Yes. We're all actually on that discipleship pathway. We ought to be. Our teams will be formed under the Reach, Gather, Grow, Serve structure. There's actually five boxes there because gather is split into gather to worship and gather together. Love God and love one another. That's our intention. That's what we want to do. And so we structure our teams so that we achieve what we want for our church. Now, Joe and Lisa Rogers have been raised up, volunteers, to take on the Reach column, to drive and direct our Reach programs and teams. This is exciting, and this is a guinea pig experiment. If we can get it to work for them, we can then pass this along to other people and get all five of those columns under people's direction. Underneath, you'll notice that underneath that Reach column, that there's the op shop sits there, because it's an outreach ministry. And I want to say that they actually are a good example of what a team looks like. That they know what they're there for, they know who their leaders are, and they know that they can discuss how to tweak things. How can we make this happen? They don't have to come and ask a committee somewhere, can we move that bookshelf a meter to the right? Because they can work that out themselves and get it done. Another example of good team ministry is our current kids and youth ministry. It's directed under Kirk, but he has helped our church to not just do what he says, but for the leaders to grow up and raise leaders so that he can go on long service leave and leave us with our youth and kids ministry to foster and even mature. If we could get the thinking that is already happening in the op shop and kids and youth ministry and apply it to all of our teams across the Sunday, our welcoming team, our music team, evangelism, AV, social media, events, gardening, maintenance, all sorts of areas. Wouldn't it be amazing that what could be unlocked in our church if it's not just down to a few people trying to work out what to do next, but that we all know the vision, we know the part that we're playing, we know the team that we're doing with, and let's make it happen. Let's get cracking. To be part of the growth at the 9:30 congregation, the dream for me is this. Four things. Be regularly here. That means physically here. But also be prayerfully and financially supporting the church. So that's spiritually here. Don't just be a member who turns up, but be prayerful and give financially to the work at our church. That means you're investing in the work that goes on here. Thirdly, be part of a growth group where possible. Understand that it's not always possible for all people. But consider how you could be part of a midweek growth group, a maturing group, not only for your sake, but for the sake of others in the church. And the last thing, and this is the one that I want you to hear most of all, to be a member of a team. Where could you play a part in the growth of our church? Where could you serve in God's mission? Well, I'd like to hear from you. In our sermon outline, inside this sheet that hopefully you all got, the right-hand page is a response card. And you may have brought your own pen. And if you haven't, there's pens out in the foyer and you can access them later. But, you know, your name, you can tick the service you attended. Hint, it's the 9:30 service. And you might tick, I want to know more about being in a ministry team. And you might also tick one of those suggestions. But you might have another skill or gift that you're interested to inquire about more. So friends, the first thing is that we need to upskill our 9:30, our growing congregation, our fast-running congregation, so that it can keep the momentum and go even further. The second thing I'm proposing is to launch a new night service. This is critical. It's critical that we have a vibrant evening service. It's critical. Our 7 p.m. church has been in preservation mode for quite a while. We tried to revitalise it when we moved from the hall into the auditorium, and I still believe that was a good move. We haven't lost the numbers by moving in here, but we haven't grown the numbers either. We were hoping that we would, but it hasn't happened. The key factor seems to be the time that the service is running. 7 p.m. is too late to start a church service if we're to attract new people. It's too late for young workers. It's too late for students. It's too late for everybody. It's too late for senior ministers. No. But Sunday afternoon holds real attraction for people. An early evening service is critical to the future of our parish. We need a service that cares for those same people who are ministering to our children in the morning. So as our Sunday morning kids leaders serve us here by teaching our children, they then have a service to go to later in the day that's for them. Not only for them, but it's for them. But we also need a service that will attract and hold young adults and youth and anyone in our area who would like to do church on a Sunday afternoon. Of all ages, let me say that, of all ages. But shift workers, students, people who love to sleep in on a Sunday. The recommendation is this: to officially close the 7 p.m. congregation and launch a new service in 2026 that starts sometime after 5 o'clock. We'll work out a time later. But the hope is to launch this in February next year. Launching something new, as opposed to just transferring what's there, launching something new does two things. It allows all three congregations, 9:30, 5 o'clock and 7, to get excited about this and to pray about it and to consider being part of a new congregation. So that we don't think this is just a 7 p.m. mission, but this is a whole parish mission. What could we do in a Sunday afternoon that will bring life and vibrancy and people in to hear the good news? That's the first thing that starting new does. The second thing is it brings that energy and excitement that then we can use to spread this news to our local area. So that we're not just moving deck chairs on a ship, we're actually finding something that we can then say, hey, local area, we're starting something new in February. Why don't you come and check it out? Come and see what's new. People love to see things that are new. Now, would you like to be part of this ministry? Does this get you excited? To shape what that afternoon gathering could become and look like. It won't be referred to as the young adults service, because having people from every generation is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. This could possibly become bigger than our morning service. I don't know. Let's see what God does with this initiative. Are you excited about this? Does this interest you? The second major tick box on that response card, it says, I want to be part of the afternoon church service, of that church plant. I'd love to know who here is keen, interested, curious. Let me know. The third thing we need to talk about next is our elderly ministry initiative. Our current 5 p.m. service is often referred to as our traditional service. It's seen some growth in the past few years. Praise God for that. All growth that's God growth is good growth. But it's not huge growth. It's not like it's tracking a momentum that we ought to ride that wave. Our members are faithful, they are warm, and they love the Lord, and they love people, and I love them. There are two challenges, however, that the 5 p.m. congregation are faced with. And the first one is that, just like the 7 p.m. congregation, it's in preservation mode. We are a church running at two speeds, and I'd love us to be a church running at one speed, charging forward. As I've said, we're a church running fast and slow. At the moment, our parish ought to be conducting two services on a Sunday, not three, and doing those two services really well. That's my hope. The second challenge to our afternoon congregation is that 5 p.m. time slot. It's prime time for reaching the younger generation in our community. The growth of the 5 p.m. service might actually have more to do with the time slot than it has to do with the style of the service that's running there. I'm curious to test that and see if that's true. There could well be a hearty, good, healthy desire for a service with hymns and prayer book in our area, in the Penrith region. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about replanting this service to a day and a time that will maximise its growth. It could be that 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon is not actually the greatest time to ask elderly to come out of there and drive home in the dusk. There might be a better time slot to do this. Maybe it's a Wednesday during the day and connect it with a growth group before or after that service. Maybe it's on a Thursday and connect it to the Op Shop ministry so that Op Shop volunteers can say, would you like to come to church? In fact, you don't have to wait till Sunday. There's one starting in 15 minutes time. Why don't you go and check it out? Sit at the back, hear the message and see what you think. There's options there. What happens next is that we talk about that. Let's talk about that change. Will you join? Will people join the new Sunday afternoon congregation and keep serving, keep worshipping at 5 o'clock or near there? 5 p.m. could actually get excited and do some mission, some reaching at a new time slot for their service. Or perhaps this morning service is a home for some. So there's comments, a section on that response card for comments. If you've got feedback, thoughts, wisdom that you'd like to share on that third proposal. Got two more proposals, two more things to talk through. Are you here?
Yes.
Kids, are you having fun? Are you finished the colouring in? You are. Well, colour in again. Turn it over and draw a picture. All right, number four. Mission heat. We want to make more of a noise in our area and raise the mission heat in our church. It's really, really typical, isn't it? That when you're familiar with an area, you don't actually notice what the outsider does or doesn't see. And we've had the benefit of having some outsiders come and look at our church, and they gave us some honest feedback. And it became obvious to me after they pointed out that we really don't make much of a noise in our area. To say, look, we're open. The signs on the corners need to be refreshed, and even some signage on the entrance here. I've become aware that we actually have a decoy on our property. Our signs say we're open on a Sunday morning, but the Heritage Church says we're not. People would look and go, "There's the church. The doors are closed." It sounds weird to hear that, doesn't it? But even if 1 in 10 people think that, then that's worth us putting some signs out there and say, this is where church is on, come and enjoy it. We need some social media action, Instagram, Facebook posts to reach people in Cadens, Kingswood, Berrington and the areas. We need to let our neighbourhood know that we're here. And so when we're thinking about team ministry, that might be a skill that you have, I can do some Instagram accounts and I know where to go with that, and so I'd love to talk to those people who are keen in that area. Our website needs just a bit of work, to put photos on there. I've asked one of our parishioners to come in and take some photos of us, natural photos, authentic photos, so that people on the outside looking at our website thinking, should I, shouldn't I, they get a glimpse of the warmth that's here and they see the people. So if you see someone turn up and taking photos, please just relax. And of course, if you don't want your photo used, we'll respect that as well. What could be offered during the week in our community? In addition to the Op Shop, we could put a food pantry, a ministry happening. We could have English conversation classes running. Not how to learn English, but how to speak natural English. That could be a good mission area. A mother's group, as I've already said, a traditional service in the middle of the week could be a great way to reach our community, to make it known that we're open. Let's work out how much noise we can make. If you have skills in advertising, photography, evangelism, let me know. Write it down on that card, because our local area does need to know that we are here and that we're open for business and we have a really good meal to offer. So let's keep that basket moving. And then the fifth thing is building upkeep for a modern appeal. Our building is great. It is great. The seating capacity is wonderful. The roof has been repaired, so there's no leaks. That has actually held us back for a little bit with creating some damage that would cost us a lot of money if we did not fix that roof. But the roof's been repaired, and the shell and the structure of this place is is great. It needs no enhancing for another decade or more. Praise God for the wisdom and the work that has gone before us, long before I arrived here at this church. But the inside needs some freshening up. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but first impressions matter. Every house needs upkeep, and this house is no different. The parish council this year, we unleashed a little subcommittee to see what they could do to do bits here and there with zero budget. We give you no money and ask you to do work miracles. We didn't even give them a basket of bread and two fish. And they've done some really cool things. Meeting room two, which is the blue room, has had some work done to it, and that's great. That was done quite cheaply. The bookshelf in the foyer, what a wonderful thing. The Bibles are now, and the new Bibles, they're all on display. And the interior signs that have just been installed recently, they were all done at next to $0. Can you believe that? That's what we can do with no financial input. In 2026 and over the next 3 to 5 years, this is a bit of a longer journey, it'll be great to plan for some small, medium, and kind of large projects. The auditorium right here needs brighter lighting. You and I, once you've been here for a few weeks, you get used to the fact that it's quite dark in here. But when someone walks in and goes, this is a bit dark, the first impression is, wow, this could be a bit brighter. So we're actually looking into that right now. The air conditioning needs repairing, both here and in the church hall. We're about to hit summer, and you're going to notice that actually this is life-threatening. This stage area, I'm not going to suggest exactly what we should do, but I think we should get a young mind in here and just to look at this area or even beyond and see what could be done here for a younger audience in mind. The hall needs some colour and acoustic enhancements, a bit like what the blue room had. We could make the courtyard a bit bigger. You'll notice, go and enjoy it this morning. It's ready for you to have a coffee out there. And just while you're out there, imagine how we could just expand this. It won't take you long to have some outside-the-box thinking and realise that this is doable. The entrance area could have a bit of a facelift with seating outside. And I've already mentioned signs. Maybe signs with more than one language to say this is a church that we'd love you to come and be here. The bathrooms could be retiled or painted or something like that. These are just napkin ideas. I'm just throwing out, giving you the vision of what the sort of things we can do around the place. We're not knocking down walls, but we are just saying, how can we make this place fresh and inviting? Some love and care for the property is needed. We want to make a good first impression for our guests, a good third space in their life. You know, people go to work, that's one space. People go home, that's a second space. And then what's the third space? And we don't want people to go to the pub. We want people to come to church and go, I'm going to church because I like it down there. It's a lovely environment. The people are great. What they're talking about interests me a lot. And it's a great place to hang out. Is this an area that excites you? This is where we offer the bread of life. Do you have skills? There's another tick box there. I want to be involved in the building projects in any shape. It could just be thinking about it, planning about it. You might have skills with hammers or wiring licensed and things like that. Are you with me? Do you have your loaf of bread? And are you secure in the kingdom of God? Do you know who Jesus is? Have you stopped working for the things of this world that don't last and don't fulfill? And are you living for the kingdom that lasts forever, that gives you full joy for all eternity? And are you prepared to shuffle a little bit in order to make room for other people? We're here for such a short time. Our life will be over before you know it. And if we do exactly what the world does, and toil for things that don't last, then are we really investing our life in the kingdom of God? Let's do more than just keep the lights on. Let's inject some energy around another round of energy, like people who have been a part of this church have done in the past. And let's see where we can get this loaf of bread moving. Some of these changes will feel uncomfortable, a bit unclear, be inconvenient, a bit stressful, but I believe that you are more keen to get the basket all the way to the back of the crowd than you are to just settle in your seat and feed on Jesus yourself. This is a great space. So let's make it greater. There may well be a better place for our traditional service than where it is right now. So let's talk about that. Two services on a Sunday will grow better than three at the moment. So let's make that happen. And lastly, we know where we are and how good the bread is, but do our neighbours know? And friends, we're going to bring all these things to God in prayer right now.